بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Today we completed the 12th juz, which includes surah, which begins, we started from Surah Hud and we went into Surah Yusuf. So Surah Hud, it talks about different forms of divine punishments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent unto many, many different nations. It discusses many different nations, what happened with the prophets and the crimes of those nations and what they did. There's a hadith in the Jami' of Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, where once Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, qad shibta. That Ya Rasulullah, it seems that you've become old. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded and said, Shayyabatni, that there are some surahs of the Quran, they've made me old. Because of all the frightening things that are inside them, they're giving me white hair. What are those surahs? The first one that he mentioned was Hud, Surah Hud, the one that we covered today. The next one, Surah Waqi'ah, Wal Mursalat, and Wa Amma Yatasaalun, Surah Naba, and Surah Taqwir, Idha Shamsu Kuwirat. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us many, many different, as I mentioned, he talks about many, many different nations. And in one of these ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that sometimes times may get hard. Times may get hard. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that if we do have worldly benefits and we do want to have worldly profits, and when times are really bad for us and things are not going fine and we still want worldly things to come to us, like in this situation right now, we need to do two things. وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. Number one is do istighfar, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, and make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this concept of making istighfar and making tawbah with most of the prophets mentioned in this surah. I keep saying it over and over again. وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. Right in the beginning of Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you ask Allah for forgiveness, وَثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ, and then you make tawbah to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you مَتِّعْكُمْ مَتَاعًا حَسَنًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you lots and lots of worldly things that you want in this world. And another part of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you do the same thing, وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down rains which will help everything grow, and He will increase you in power and strength on top of whatever power and strength you have. So istighfar and tawbah are two very important things during difficult times. And the primary difference between istighfar and tawbah, there are many, many differences between istighfar and tawbah. But one difference is that istighfar or forgiveness may be sought for yourself and anyone else. Sometimes we say, oh, Allah forgives such and such person. Even in the Quran, some ayahs mention about us saying, Allahumma ghfir this person, that Allah may Allah forgive such and such person. So you can ask istighfar for yourself and other people, and istighfar has many forms. That you can do wudu, you can pray salah, you can do many, many different things to do istighfar and ask Allah for forgiveness. But tawbah is something that is only for you yourself. You cannot do it on behalf of anyone or for anyone else. And tawbah requires special conditions where we leave our sins, feel regret, and promise never to return to that evil. It's very specific and it's very specialized. Now, if we want things to get back to normal from this pandemic, we should use all means we have at our disposal. But we should not forget to do tawbah and istighfar as well. It is highly likely that if this world did not have religious people pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and calling out His name, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have deprived this world of everything. There's a hadith in the Jami' of Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, that there used to be two brothers, ala ahli Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of them used to go to work, he used to have a job, he used to yahtarif, he has an occupation and he used to work. And the other brother, ya'tin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to learn about deen. So the one who had a job and an occupation, shakal muhtarifu akhahu ila Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he complained about his brother to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I'm working all the time and this person is only coming to you, so I'm financially keeping us straight and he's not doing anything to contribute. So what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to him? لَعَلَّكَ تُرْزَقُ بِهِ. It is highly likely that it's not you that is the one getting all your finances straight. It is the fact that your brother is coming here, that through him you are being given sustenance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one that has the deen is the one that's giving you your sustenance. Otherwise, everything would have failed. There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ وَحَتَّى لَا يُقَالُ فِي الْأَرْضِ اللَّهُ اللَّهُ. The day of judgment will not commence until a time comes when there's no longer anyone on the earth to say, Allah, Allah. So we should realize that while we are doing many, many material things, physical things, worldly things to fix our situation in this pandemic, make sure you cover the side of deen, the side of tawbah, and the side of istighfar. Tawbah and istighfar mentioned by many, many different prophets to many, many different nations throughout different surahs as a way to gain worldly benefit. So use your material means, but do not forget that the one being truly providing you those material means, your money, your wealth, everything, he wants us to repent to him as well. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about different nations and their destructions as discussed. One of the nations Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes is the nation of Nuh alayhi salam and the flood that came to them. I will not go into his story. I want to mention one part of this story where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that there are times where logic tells us to adopt one set of worldly means to do something, that logically this looks like the right decision and the right thing we should do, but Islam and Sharia tells us to adopt a different form. And this may be for many, many different things. It may be for maybe personal choices in our life, buying a car or a house. There's an Islamic way and there's a non-Islamic way. Getting a job, there's a way that pleases Allah and there's a way that does not please Allah. Choosing a school or career for our children, there's something that pleases Allah and does not please Allah. During these times, we need to remember that the path that fits in with Sharia and Islam is the only path to salvation. And no matter how nice or appealing the other path looks, it will continue to lead us to our destruction. In the story of Nuh alayhi salam, the son of Nuh alayhi salam is there. Nuh alayhi salam tells him, get on this boat. What does he say? He says that, no, سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلِي يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. There's a mountain there. It's very, very high. I will go there and seek shelter, and that will protect me from all the water that is there. That logically seemed like a good decision to make. That's just a small boat over there. This is a huge mountain. Obviously, the mountain is going to save me. When do floods reach to the top of any mountain? That's not normal. But Nuh alayhi salam told him, no, this is from Allah, and Allah wants you to be in this boat, not on the mountain, even though that logically seems correct. So what happened in the end? The son ended up going onto that mountain. فَكَانَ بَيْنْهُمَ الْمَوْجُ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. Then eventually when the flood came, Nuh alayhi salam saw the flood come right in front of him, and he saw the waves come and take away his son, and his son ended up passing away. So as we continue to live through this pandemic, do not let yourself make any choices that are against Sharia or may displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of fear of this pandemic. People are already doing strange things. They're getting into questionable investments. And while I respect differences of opinion, but there's just following live streams for Jumu'ah and Taraweeh, this opinion is very, very out there. And misplacing their zakah funds, and some people are using zakah funds for themselves where they're not eligible. We need to make sure we're not doing things that are crossing the boundaries of Sharia. Let Sharia guide you, not your emotions and not your logic. Another nation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the nation of Lut alayhi salam, how their valleys were overturned and stones were rained upon them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the people of Ad and Thamud, winds and loud sounds came that left them dead in their homes. Then he talks about the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something very interesting here. Shu'aib alayhi salam's people were also worshipping other gods, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not decide to talk about that. What did he want to highlight about the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam? He wanted to highlight another sin of theirs specifically. Throughout the entire Quran, whenever Shu'aib alayhi salam's people are mentioned, this sin is mentioned. What was it? It was dishonesty in their commercial transactions. And what did Shu'aib alayhi salam tell them would happen if they do not fix their dealings? Inni akhafu alaykum azab yawmin muhit. You will be overtaken by a punishment that covers everyone. Muhit, it covers everyone. In the realm of fiqh, there are two types of actions we carry out. There are actions that are ibadat, acts of worship, and there are actions that are part of mu'amalat, dealing with others. The first part is salah, zakah, all of those things. The second part is talking about everything that has to do with us and other people. The people of Shu'aib alayhi salam erred on both sides. When it came to ibadah, they ended up worshipping other gods. But Allah in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to highlight the mu'amilat aspect, their dealings with others. And don't be deceived into thinking that mu'amilat only refers to and means trade. It includes marital issues, it includes dealing with neighbors and relatives, it includes rules pertaining to giving and receiving gifts, it includes rules about borrowing things, it talks about when being fair when you are in charge of someone else's wealth, even your own children's wealth, it includes inheritance, it includes rights and responsibilities of the spouse, rights and responsibilities of the parents. Many parents and spouses, what happens with them is they only talk about their rights, they forget about their responsibilities. That's also part of mu'amalat, your responsibilities. And other things that include mu'amalat, attending gatherings that do not include that include aspects that are against sharia. This is the one thing we make the most excuses for. We know something is wrong in the gathering, but we think of any and all loopholes to make us think it's okay for some future goal. What if you pass away this moment? What if there is no future? What if qiyamah comes now? So anyway, in this pandemic, while we are taking the next step in our ibadat, we're worshipping more, making more dua, doing all of those different nafil things, do not forget to keep track of your mu'amalat as well. Later on in Surah Yusuf, we see that even while he was in prison for years, Yusuf alayhi salam never forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continued to mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how he followed the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala well, even when he was in prison. Anyway, moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning the stories of all of these different prophets, he gives us some lessons. He says, I'll highlight two main lessons. He says, تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُحِيهَا إِلَيْكَ that إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. That one reason all these lessons are told to us is that no matter what happens, if you are muttaqi, you are fearing Allah, then the aqibah, the good outcome will be for you. Second thing is to be mindful of Allah. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِمَنْ خَافَ عَذَابَ الْآخِرَةِ. All these stories, they have a lesson for those people who fear the akhirah. So the goal is the akhirah, not the world. Let the akhirah guide you, not this world. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us one advice to remove any hardship. He tells us many advices like istighfar and tawbah. Another advice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to remove any hardships is establishing salah. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِيلَيْ إِنَّ الْحَسْنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And he also talks about rectifying ourselves, such as in ibadat and mu'amilat. Moving forward, Allah then Surah Yusuf begins. We finished about half of Surah Yusuf. In Surah Yusuf, the reason for the revelation of Surah Yusuf was that the Jews came to Rasulullah ﷺ and they asked him, why did Yaqub ﷺ move from Syria to Egypt and what happened to Yusuf ﷺ? In response to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Yusuf. Now, there's one specific ayah I want to highlight here and inshallah I will end off with that. That the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, I'm not going to go through the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, that's too lengthy. The brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam showed jealousy towards Yusuf alayhi salam. And as a result, they did what they did with Yusuf alayhi salam. They threw him in the well and all the stuff happened, which ended up separating Yusuf alayhi salam from his family and forced him into a life of slavery. And then it forced him into a life in prison before everything became better. Now, why did all of this happen? Once again, mu'amalat. Jealousy from the brothers. Their conduct with Yusuf alayhi salam was not good. And right now, because many of us are being forced to be in the same house with the same people for lengthier times, it may happen that more arguments are going to ensue with each other. Everyone's going to be trying to prove themselves right or wrong. But here's the question, why didn't Yusuf alayhi salam hold any grudge against his brothers? Why did he not do that? The answer to that is very simple. Yaqub alayhi salam gave him already a reason not to when he was a child. He already gave him the reason. And what did he tell him in the ayah? Ya bunayya la taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatika fayakidu laka kida. He told his Yusuf alayhi salam, don't tell your brothers about this dream that you had about the sun, moon, and stars doing sajda in front of you, because your brothers are going to plan something against you. And why are they going to plan something against you? Inna shaytana lil insani aduwwum mubeen. Because it's not your brothers. Your brothers are not the problem. The problem is that shaytan is your enemy. And he is going to cause all of this. And in later on, when Yusuf alayhi salam tells Yaqub alayhi salam about everything that happened between him, He tells Yaqub alayhi salam, "Annazagha ash-shaytanu bayni wa bayna ikhwati." Shaytan was the one who created this problem between myself and my brother. So he knew it's Shaytan and no one else. So in another verse we covered today, Yusuf alayhi salam also told the man to speak, when he was in prison, he told the man to speak to the king regarding his situation so he could have a case to release himself from prison. But the man forgot, and Yusuf alayhi salam ended up staying in prison for years and years and years because this one man forgot. And a few years later, the same man comes to Yusuf alayhi salam in prison for help, and Yusuf alayhi salam once again does not hold any grudge. Why? Allah Ta'ala tells us too, فَأَنْسَى هُشْشَيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّي. Shaytan came again and made the man forget. So it is Shaytan. Whenever we have any disagreements with anyone, or we see someone doing a wrong, remember, Shaytan is the one sparking arguments between us. Of course, we have our nafs, but Shaytan is the one, when it comes to things between us, Shaytan is the one that's there. Do not direct your anger towards the person, direct it towards Shaytan. Shaytan loves to make us fight and cause issues between people that love each other. There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim where Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Inna Iblis yada arshahu ala al-ma." Iblis has his throne on the water. He wanted to copy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a way, we won't get into the discussion. ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُ سَرَايَاهُ. Then Iblis sends all of his armies to different people to put whispers into people's hearts and bother them. So فَأَدْنَاهُ مِنْهُ مَنْزِلَةً أَعْظَهُمَهُمْ فِتْنَةً. Whoever causes the most destruction and the biggest problems between people and the biggest fitna, he gives them a high status in front of him and increases their ranks and keeps him close to them. Who are these people? That people go and they tell Shaytan, فَعَلْتُ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَكَذَا. When the different Shaytans come to them, they say, "Oh, I did this, we did this, I did this." Then one of them comes to them and tells him, يَجِيُوا أَحَدٌ فَيَقُولُ مَا تَرَكْتُهُ حَتَّى فَرَّقْتُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ إِمْرَأَتِهِ. One of them tells him, "I went after two people. I went after a pair, husband and a wife. And I did not leave them until I forced them to separate from each other." When Iblis hears this, فَيُدْنِيهِ مِنْهُ, he brings that Shaytan very, very close and he says, نِعْمَ أَنْتَ, you have done such a great job. And another narration it mentions, فَيَلْتَزِمُهُ, he even gives him a hug. He hugs him because of this. So remember, if this pandemic causes you to lose your patience at home or in the store or maybe during work, direct your anger towards Shaytan and do not direct it toward those people that are involved, because Shaytan is the main cause. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all the tawfiq to act upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.